a grueling 12 hours a week. I would like to tell you how long I have been banking at First Community Credit Union, but I don't know. It's 5 or 6 years or something like that. I don't have an exact date. I didn't write down in some diary, today I started banking at First Community. But it's been a few years. And I am so glad that they became part of the show and that I became a member of theirs. We're called members and not just customers. And there's a reason for that, because years ago, you know, it was a thing only a special few could participate in. You had to be a member. Nobody else could bank there except people that worked for Monsanto. That was a long time ago, back in the 30s, I believe. And now if you can hear this show, lucky you, you can bank at First Community Credit Union. And lots of people have decided that's what they want to do, because once they, and I don't know what it is that causes people to go, okay, I'm going to change where I bank. Maybe it's talking to other people, and they compare rates and fees, or in this case, lack of fees that some charged banks seem to want to charge. They're becoming excessive. And then before you know it, they want to know more. And then they go to the website I'm about to give you, and I hope you'll do that, or visit one of the 40 locations. Tell them your AM and the PM, and you want to know more. Here's the website. It's a great place to bank, by the way. First Community Credit Union, the website is firstcommunity.com.
How much is that jar in the window? The one with the wackily chair.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Frank for a couple of days here while he's off on assignment again. Ian and Dan are here with me.
We're always here.
They're always. You guys are never on assignment. You'd think after 17 years of the radio station, somebody would give you some kind of assignment.
We're not allowed.
No.
Not that you want one. You know what? I withdraw that.
Just in case, faith in us.
Just in case anybody in management is listening right now, if I've ever met two guys who do not want to have an assignment handed to them in my life, these are the two right here. That music means it's time for Dr. Doug Pernikoff from the Clarkson-Wilson Veterinary Clinic to join us, brought to you by Laclede Cab. Download the STL Taxi app or call them at 314-652-3456 when you need a cab. Laclede Cab. Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, how are you all?
Just fine. How are you today?
I am AM in the PM.
Thank you. And by the way, here, right here, is a guy who would accept an assignment if it were handed to him.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's had some exotic assignments
very
over the years. Yes.
Experiences.
Have you?
I think so.
Well, you've traveled the world.
I have.
What is one of your most extreme traveling surgeries that you've had to do?
Not so much surgery, but, I mean, we've explored areas all around the world in conservation roles, and it's been fun riding elephant back through the jungles, and Asia has been just really exciting, chasing reptiles up in the high mountains of Jamaica.
Why were you chasing reptiles?
There was a species called the Jamaican iguana that was considered the rarest reptile in the world. They only knew of a couple, maybe two dozen of them, that were thought to be in the wild high up in the Hellshire Hills of Jamaica. So we had to hike up there, and that was tough. And then when we were up there, the females only are visible during breeding season, nesting season, when they lay their eggs, and then they protect the nest for about a week or so before they leave again, and then they disappear. And then the babies are born months later, and they just kind of pop out. But they're so rare, so we went up there and we did some genetic testing on the females, and then we took some animals down and set them up in the zoo in Jamaica. And now they are not any longer endangered. They're endangered in the wild, but in captivity they've bred so well. They're in many, many zoos around the world. So that was fun.
Well, good, good. Yeah. Let me open up the phone lines here, 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Those are the numbers if you've got a question about your pet that Dr. Doug can help you with here today. Any introductory stuff that you want to talk about at this time of the year?
You know, just this weather is always an issue, and you can't repeat it enough. But, you know, obviously the animals can deal with some direct cold, but they can't deal with the airflow and the wetness, the rain. So you want to be careful. And then if they're long-haired dogs or they have hair between their digits, their toes, you want to make sure they don't get ice on there that can cause frostbite. They also get frostbite on the ear tips. And always make sure, unfortunately, if your dogs have to be in the garage or someplace, they always have fresh water, windbreak, and plenty of warmth.
Okay. I'm curious, Bob, we're talking about dogs and cold.
Yes.
Ian and I were talking about this before the show today. The stories out of Buffalo of the enormous amount of snow, I'm going to get into that story a little bit later on in the show, but there was one story that we saw of, it was a picture of a dog looking at a front door. The door was open, but you couldn't exit because it was completely snow-covered.
I saw one picture where the door was actually being pushed in by the snow. It was so aggressive.
Yeah. So if you've got a dog that you normally would let outdoors into the yard to take care of business, and now you nobody can get out in the yard to do anything, what do you do?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. You know, if you can't get into a garage or a basement either where you can at least, he's going to have to go. I guess a creative thing to try, I don't know if it'll work, would be if you can go to the Lowe's or one of these places.
Oh, we can't go to Lowe's. We can't get out of the house.
Oh, nobody can get out of the house.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you're really going to have to just put them someplace. They're eventually going to give in and do that because they won't be able to hold in.
Yeah, you don't want to just throw the dog out there. You may lose him forever.
There are some of these things that are so snow-packed that nothing, no one is going to be able to get outside.
Right.
And do anything. So do you eventually just go, all right, you know what? The guest bathroom is just going to have to get messy.
I think so. I mean, I don't know of a simple solution. That's a good question, though. Hopefully it never happens here.
Do 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS are the phone numbers. Have you ever had a circumstance where a dog, for some reason, or any other animal, was so freaked out by weather? I mean, I can imagine during a hailstorm, during, you know, our April showers here, that the dog or cat, whatever animal it was, couldn't or wouldn't go outside. And
yeah, I've had that with one of my puppies, my own puppies. She's just afraid of the snow. And unfortunately, we couldn't get her. I mean, I'd put her out in the snow. I'd walk out there with her. It just didn't work. So I ended up bringing her in and putting her in her cage with a carpet, with a rug or a towel. And unfortunately, she went ahead and, peed, and I couldn't do anything about it. I mean, that was the best I could do.
Can there be damage to an animal if it doesn't?
I imagine if they held in too long, either poopy or pee-pee, it wouldn't be good, especially poopy the poop. They might get a little dry and constipated, and that would be a real challenge in its own right.
And this has happened a couple times with Dr. Doug, where people just, I don't know what the deal is, where they don't call in. I know they have questions, but...
Yeah.
Frank has said we'll just go ahead
okay.
and let Dr. Doug
talking.
Go and everything, but we do have some calls coming in now.
All right.
Okay. If not, I'll keep yapping.
Well, while Dan's answering that line, just talk a little bit more about the winter's effects on animals.
Well, of course, like I said, the big concerns are frostbite and just not getting enough food. Again, we like our animals to be inside for these, especially this winter. I'm anticipating it's going to be a rough one. And some animals like to go outside, but just be careful you're watching that they don't disappear and stay out there. Keep them in at night if you can. And, as I said, in some cases, people will start feeding a little bit more if their animals are going to be obligated to being outside more so they have a little more energy to burn off.
How about clearing a spot off in the yard with a snow shovel or something so they can go? Because some dogs don't like this. To squat down and have their
if you
stuff
have a,
in the snow.
A container of some sort, a doghouse or anything, as long as you pad it up real good and you insulate it, again, it's more important to have direct wind protection and direct moisture protection than anything else because that's what's really going to hurt them and injure them, I think.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Don, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
How you doing, Dr. Doug? I got a question for you. A year and a half old Pomeranian. His paws and then wipe his eyes. He'll lick his paws and wipe his eyes. I mean, it's cute, but I'm have to clean his eyes, in the United States of America because he's constantly doing it.
Okay.
The only problem is, if you don't watch him, then after he lick and he'll wipe, then the next thing you know, he's gnawing. So between his knee, I'd say, and his paw on the backside, not the front. He'll start gnawing on it like he's gnawing the hair away. I mean, is that something to worry about or don't worry about?
Well, I think it could definitely create more problems, especially if he's, number one, he Hello?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. He could introduce something into his eye that would cause a conjunctivitis or what we call a pink eye in humans, so you want to be careful for that. And then if he keeps licking, he can create lesions anywhere in his body where he's licking. There are some really good new drugs. There's a new one out. It's hard to get, but you can ask your veterinarian about it. It's called Apoquel, and that seems to be very effective at slowing down these self-lickers and animals that are really having chronic skin issues. So I would say that if it's continuing, pursue it with your veterinarian. Let them take a look at it and just make sure that you're on target.
I would suggest that medication for some of our human listeners who are self-lickers.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything like over-the-counter you can get like at a pet store?
No, you'd have to go from your veterinarian. The problem with a lot of the pet store products that they have in the medicine section, they're really not standardized correctly, and I'm very cautious about encouraging people to do that. I always say, go to your veterinarian first. If he wants to suggest you go to a pet shop for a given product, then let him do that. But
thank you, doctor.
Okay, be well.
All right, Don, thanks
for
calling.
Saying if he could be a self-licker, you'd never leave the house.
That's right, yeah.
No good by the way, self-licker.
By the way, this portion of the show brought to you by our new alcoholic sponsor, Self, the liquor you want to try. Marcia, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Doug. That's not fair to have that on right before I have to talk. Well, we are the proud owners of a rescue lab mix. He is about 6 or 7 years old, and he doesn't like other dogs or cats. And we've taken him to class to have him, you know, acclimatized to the other pets, but he took after most of them.
Okay.
Is there anything short? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, there's a couple different approaches.
We're an older couple, and I can't walk him because he's so strong.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you and congratulate you for adopting, because that's really important.
Oh,
six, especially an older dog. A 6 to 7-year-old dog is going to have some pretty fixed opinions. But
yeah,
there are good trainers, and we have one I've mentioned before, and I think he's great. And if you wanted to try that, give us a call. We'd be happy to direct you. Or you might find someone through your own veterinarian, which is fine. But I think you should try and do some training with that. And unfortunately, that's one of the negative sides of taking in a rescue, is you never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates. And
right,
you'll find that their personalities kind of evolve as they get comfortable in their home setting. And then you start to find out what they're really about. And unfortunately, by that time, most people are emotionally committed to the dog.
Well, that's right. That's for sure.
Yeah, so I would say it's worth investing in a little bit of training to try and get them some socialization in proper ways. And there might be a whole, it's a little bit harder in the wintertime because of the snow and everything, but there will be opportunities, especially in the spring, like some of these dog parks and stuff, as long as you have some training first. And again, I would search out a really good trainer who knows how to deal with these socialization problems, and we're happy to deliver that information if you need us, okay?
Okay, I'll give your office a call. Thanks.
Okay.
We listen to you every Wednesday.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Marcia. We appreciate that. All right, now let me put on this red light over here. Roxanne, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Oh, brother.
Roxanne. Yeah, I get that a lot.
I'm sorry.
I just have a question. We have a husky, and I'm wondering, when is it too cold for him to be outside? He loves being outside in the cold, and, you know, it's been getting cold, and we try to get him to come in, and he doesn't want to come in. He has a doghouse, so he does have shelter if he's outside, but I'm
right,
just wondering, when is it too cold?
Well, you know, that's a particular breed that obviously can tolerate significant cold. Again, if you have real windy cold or real wet, rainy cold, I'd get him in whether he wants to go in or not. But even at that, he's going to do much better. It's hard for me to tell you when it's too cold. I would just use some common sense. He can certainly stay out and tolerate a lot, but why not just, you know, when it gets below, I don't know, maybe 15 degrees, 20 degrees, at least, I'd get him in. I wouldn't let him out for very long anytime, whether he wants to be out there or not.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Here's Craig on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hey, group. And hey, doctor. How are you?
Good. How are you, Craig?
Good. I'll be quick for you.
Go ahead.
A little sneaky trick that I'm going to try this year. I don't know if it'll work, but we live a little bit farther out of town, and you could do it even if you lived in the city. But instead of going and trying to shovel a spot before the snow hits, just go get you a 8x10 tarp, something like that, stake it to the ground. When it snows, let it be finished, and go out, peel it back. You got a good fresh area of...
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That way the dog can see a larger area than just, you know, a little spot, because, you know, half the time dogs like to...
Yeah,
not only that, but the dog's going to be happy to see steak on the ground.
Oh, wow. Okay, and my second real quick one for you is, she's a four-year-old Jack Chi, which, you know what that is, it's just a wind-up dog.
wind-up dog.
It just doesn't have an on or off switch, it's just on all the time.
Okay.
My sister just got a little pug, and that's another wind-up dog sometimes, and this one's one of them. And she got a mixed-breed one that's a very sweet, lovable dog. My dog hates everybody except like four people.
Okay.
And pretty much hates mailboxes if we drive by them, drive through people in the drive through. Is there any good way to introduce her to those two dogs? Because her past dog passed away, of course, about a year ago.
Now, explain again. Are they in the same household?
Or mine's in my house. My sister's two are at her house.
Oh, okay. So it's just getting them together, and you have to worry about it at that time.
Yeah, you know, with the pugs, you got to watch their eyes. And
right, sure. You know, again, this is a question that I'm sure there are many, many techniques. The one disadvantage you have, if it's not a continuous introduction, at least for the first part of it, I think it's going to be harder to get through that staging where this dog gets used to another animal. But I don't know if you could possibly, I think one way to do it, and again, you should talk to a behavioralist to be sure, but one idea, if you can do it, is to have your dog stay. Either they bring one of the dogs over at a time and they hang out with your dog at your house for a couple of days, and they start to get familiar with one another and realize that they're in the same space with protection and guidance, so that you're not just letting them get on top of each other and hurting each other. And that would be one approach. The other approach is you could also use some sort of behavioral modification with appropriate behavioral drugs that your veterinarian can guide you with, and see if you can kind of take that edge off of your dog, and then make these guarded and protected introductions over time, and then you wean away from the drug part after you've made that introduction. That's worked before as well.
Okay, well, great. I do appreciate all your help, and hopefully that tarp trick works this year. And
hopefully
others will give it a try.
Thank you so much.
All right, Craig, thanks very much for calling. And Dr. Doug, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Dr. Doug Pernikoff from the Clarkson-Wilson Veterinary Clinic, brought to you every Wednesday about 4:15 by the Cleed Cab. You can download their free app for your phone at SDL Taxi for your iPhone or Android, or call them when you need a cab at 314-652-3456.
Meet me.
Let's get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, we're looking at westbound 40 traffic slowing down. The usual spots, Kings Highway through McCausland, 141 out through almost Clarkson, and then a good run to the Boone Bridge. Eastbound 40 is just a little heavy at the Poplar Street Bridge. Southbound 270 is running a bit slow now from Olive down through south of Manchester. We have westbound 70 a little heavy past the airport, and eastbound 270 slowing midway between McDonald and Lindbergh through Highway 170. This traffic report brought to you by Subway, introducing the new Simple 6 menu at Subway. It starts with six of their best 6-inch sandwiches, now in made-just-for-you meals for just $6 each, all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, when we come back, 75-time Jeopardy champion. Actually, he won 74 times, but appeared 75 times on Jeopardy. Ken Jennings has got a new book for kids. We'll talk to him right after this.
It's Kirkwood. It's Webster Groves. It's the 107th Annual Turkey Day Game. And it's here exclusively on KTRS. Coverage of the oldest current Thanksgiving Day rivalry west of the Mississippi River begins at 10 with Andy Strickland and Jim Powers broadcasting live from Hickson Middle School. Play-by-play coverage of the game begins at noon on the Big 550 KTRS.
Is there anything better than sitting on your deck enjoying a nice iced tea and a burger? First, you need the deck. How's your deck holding up? Time for a new one? Trying to redo the one you're sitting on? It's time to call Outdoor Living. Outdoor Living last summer helped me with my deck, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am. Outdoor Living, Inc. not only showed me all the different options, whether it's PVC, composite, vinyl wrapped, wood, but Outdoor Living has the largest showroom in St. Louis, 2,000 square feet of decking, so I figured out exactly what I wanted from the largest showroom in town. Fencing, decking, lights, pergolas, three-season, two-season and porches, low maintenance. Check out their website, OutdoorLivingInc.com. That's OutdoorLivingInc.com. They'll build you the deck of your dreams, or they'll sell you the material and you can build it yourself. 314-966-DECK or OutdoorLivingInc.com. You need a deck, a fence, lights, pergolas, whatever it is. You need an outdoor expert. You need OutdoorLivingInc.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Witowicz, sales manager at Broadway Ford Truck Sales, your full-line truck and SUV headquarters, for over 50 years at the same location. You know that selecting the ideal commercial vehicle can be complex and your needs are unique. You've come to the right place to get the right vehicle. Broadway Ford Truck Sales, your Ford business preferred network. Working with Broadway Ford Truck Sales means you are getting the most dedicated vehicle expertise available. We help you select the best vehicle for your particular application, plus we provide custom financing and leasing options.
Broadway Ford Truck Sales has been earning your business for over 50 years at the same location. If you've never used Broadway Ford, give them a try. They have a state-of-the-art service and parts department. And if you need to lease or rent a vehicle or truck, call Jim Cavanaugh. Broadway Ford Truck Sales is located downtown at 1506 South 7th Street in the Soulard Market area. You can reach them at 314-241-9140 or at BroadwayTruck.com.
We didn't think it could happen, but it happened. Golden Oak Lending's mortgage rates are down to 2.75% fixed. And there's more. You don't have to make a payment till next year.
This is Bob Ellman. When you're number one in St. Louis, you can do things others can't. In fact, if we can't close your loan, the appraisal is free.
That's right. At Golden Oak Lending, you pay nothing out of pocket. Put your credit card away. Not needed. Get 2.75% fixed today. Call 314-567-GOLD. 567-4653.
Take advantage of these special rates now. We're A-plus rated with the BBB. We offer no risk appraisals, and we will save you money. Call 567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
Rates are down to 2.75%, 15-year fixed, APR 3.776. FHA 10% equity with qualified credit. NMLS 1149.37, 111 Westport Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri. Call 567-GOLD.
Realtors have expertise in land development and management, retail, industrial, office, and investment properties. They have the experience, knowledge, and savvy to help you achieve your business and investment real estate goals. Realtors also have the power of the National Association of Realtors behind them, working with legislators and regulators to support the key role commercial real estate plays in our national economy. Ask for a professional who understands your commercial business. Ask for a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hi, my name is Mike Gingland, president at St. Mary's High School. Have you heard about the renaissance going on South Grand Boulevard? I encourage you to come and visit our beautiful 27-acre campus. Schedule a tour or shadow a student and experience our amazing academic program. Located just 10 minutes from Jamison and 44 and 20 minutes anywhere, south, north, and west, St. Mary's High School is accessible to all. St. Mary's High School, our side, south side.
Hey, it's Denise Bradley here from Appliance Discounters, and I wanted to share some great news with you. Appliance Discounters is now offering 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. Now you can get your Electrolux appliances just in time for the upcoming holidays. Get the very lowest prices on Electrolux appliances and take up to 24 months without interest to pay for them. You just can't beat that. Just another reason why Appliance Discounters has the happiest customers and the unhappiest competition. Visit any of our four showrooms in person or shop online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Each and every weekday morning at 6:50, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus gives us insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Traffic got you down? Give transit a try with Citizens for Modern Transit's new Try and Ride program. Get a personalized transit route from home to work, fare, tickets, and more. Visit cmt-stl.org.
Tuesday, November 25th at 7 p.m. is the grand opening of Winterfest at the Meadows at Lake St. Louis. Kick off the frozen fun at the outdoor skating rink. Doors open this Tuesday. It's $7 for adults and only $4 for kids under 8. Rent skates for $3 or bring your own. Guests can also enjoy free carriage rides and live music from the Woo Daddies. Only at the Meadows, Tuesday, November 25th at 7 p.m. Highway 40 at Lake St. Louis Boulevard.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Frank. He's taking a couple of extra days of assignment. Ian and Dan are here with me. You know, my next guest from his appearance on Jeopardy a decade ago, 75 consecutive shows, and when it was all over, he won $2.5 million, not to mention a bunch of money since then when he's appeared on tournament after tournament there. He now writes a weekly trivia quiz for Slate.com. He compiles the Connections puzzle for Parade. He's also a best-selling author. Let's see, I think I've interviewed him for pretty much every book he's put out, Brainiac and his Trivia Almanac and Because I Said So. And he has a Junior Genius Guide series for kids 8, 9, 10 years old. He's covered Greek mythology and U.S. presidents and maps and geography. And he's just come out with a new one for kids about outer space. Look, everybody, it's Ken Jennings. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How are you guys doing?
Good to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm well. It's always a pleasure.
But before we talk about the books or anything else, were you just on Millionaire?
Yeah, I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as recently as Monday. They were doing a special Guinness Book of World Records week, and so they called me and were like, do you want to be on Millionaire? And I was like, sure, I love Millionaire. And then they said, are you in the Guinness Book of World Records? And I said, I don't know. It turns out I was for some game show thing. So
the people who were the people who were organizing a Guinness Book of World Records Day didn't know if the potential guest was in the book that they were honoring.
I was very confused at that point when they were like, well, do you have a world record? Like, I guess they just assumed I would. Yes, I'm a juggler, you know. But,
Ken, we're really calling to see if you have a copy of the Guinness Book of World Records, because we don't have one here. Would you check and see if you're in it?
Luckily I have a 10-year-old. I did have a copy. And for having the longest streak on Jeopardy a few years ago, I actually made the cut. So,
yeah.
So I was allowed to be on Millionaire.
And how did you do?
I did okay. I knew the 100,000 question, and then they got up to the 250,000, and I had a pretty good guess, but I was, you know, I didn't want to risk losing everything. It was about, well, what was the last line of Al Gore's concession speech in 2000?
See ya, suckers!
It was just a bunch of hanging Chad.
You get Bush, I'm out of here. I had a pretty good guess, which turned out to be right, but I didn't want to risk losing, you know, some six-figure amount of money, so I walked at that point.
What was your guess?
It was the one that sort of sounded familiar was, it is time for me to go. And I thought, I remember hearing that in a speech. Was it Gore? I really didn't remember who it was, but it turns out that's how he ended the speech.
Wow. Did that drive you crazy after you knew? You thought, oh, man, I would have taken that guess. That would have been the one. And then it's like, oh, I would have been up to 250.
It really does eat at you, you know? Like, think about how mad you get about a $20 parking ticket, you know? And then what if you did something dumb, but it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars? So you really just have to pretend that doesn't exist. You have to, like, compartmentalize that part of your mind and pretend you didn't just lose, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on Al Gore's speech.
Poor Ken Jennings. How is he going to make the mortgage this month?
Yeah, there's that as well. You know, game shows have been very, very good to me, so I'm not going to complain at this point.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the Junior Genius Guides. As I mentioned, the new one is about outer space. Were you a kid who grew up in love with the space race, et cetera?
Oh, absolutely. I was like a space shuttle era kid, and my dad was a huge Apollo era, you know, astronaut geek. So we would always just take the telescope out in the backyard and, you know, look at the moon or see if we could see Saturn's moons or Jupiter's moons or the rings of Saturn. This book just came sort of pouring out of my head, you know. It's the kind of thing where if I didn't have the internet, I probably still could have written it, you know.
Wow. That's pretty good. So tell us some things about space that you don't think that we know.
It's like everything is amazing.
Well, we know that.
That's it. That's the whole book. Every page just says, space is really... like, I guess Venus is so hot, you could hold a pizza in the air for, like, 10 seconds, and it would bake. Mm. Like, that's just a day on Venus. Cooking tip, also.
Also, by the way, for you kids listening in, don't go to Venus. Too hot.
Yes.
What do you know about Uranus?
Oh, stop it.
So Uranus was almost named after King George. Like, there was almost a planet named George. And they were like, no, 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 that would be dumb. People would make jokes. So let's call the planet something that no one could joke about.
Uranus.
Let's call it Uranus.
And do you also write in the book, dear kids, when I was a kid, there was a planet called Pluto.
There is still a lot of Pluto nostalgia in the book. But I feel like kids today still have that. Like, they know that Pluto should be a planet, even though they grew up after the change, you know?
Yeah.
Like, somehow there's this deep sense deep in the species that we screwed up by kicking out Pluto. I don't know.
Yeah, I love watching any old science fiction shows or space series, and they talk about the solar system with its 9 planets. Incorrect!
You are wrong about the future. We are losing planets, not gaining them.
So you've written, I guess it's now 4 books for kids. Do you hear from kids who write back to you with ideas about things or questions?
I actually do. That's one of my favorite parts of writing these kids' books. I get to go to schools. I get to, you know, see kids at bookstores. They'll email me. A kid just emailed me like a week ago to say, I read your Junior Genius Guide to Greek Mythology, but I must already be a genius. I knew all these facts. Please recommend me a real junior genius book about Greek mythology. Signed Eric or whatever. So I hear from a lot of very, very nerdy kids.
I wonder if you ever get that from Dylan and Caitlin, your own kids. Do they ever say, oh, Dad, everybody, you know, you ask them, hey, will you look through this? Dad, everybody knows this stuff.
Mostly, I do have the problem of having know-it-all kids, for sure. Like, my son read... Because I Said So, this book I wrote about, like, debunking parenting myths, like, you know, don't swim after you eat, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for just months thereafter, he was just insufferable. Like, he thought he knew everything, and, you know, we'd tell him to turn on the light if he was going to, you know, Mom would say, turn on the light if you're going to read, and he'd be like, nope, it's in Dad's book, just temporary eye strain, I'll be fine.
Oh, wow. Now, how does your wife feel about your kid throwing Dad at her?
I thought that was hilarious, and for some reason, she did not agree.
Do they ever come to you and say, Dad, I was reading this part here. This is far too obscure for an 8-year-old.
I don't know. Like, I actually don't get a lot of feedback from my kids, which is funny because when I'm writing the books, I'm always pretending like they're sitting there and I'm just trying to entertain them, you know, like during a long car trip or they're bored or something, you know, be funny, you know, keep the kids occupied, tell them something interesting. But really they just read them and they just sort of absorb them.
Mm-hmm. You
know? I don't know. Maybe that's good because kids are sponges, right?
Absolutely.
All those facts are just going to stick in their little brains.
Now, one thing I know that you do in the book is you tell kids, don't use yellow crayons to color in the sun in the book. Why?
Well, mostly because the books are so great, you should not deface them. But also because the sun is not yellow. Sunlight is actually pure white light. Our sun only looks yellow through our atmosphere, which is weird, right? I didn't even know that one.
Wait a second. I have to get Charles Osgood on the phone because I watched that CBS Sunday Morning thing, and every logo of the sun they have is yellow. Charles Osgood is wrong about something?
He's been lying to America for years.
Wow. What else are you working on for the Junior Genius Guide series?
There's at least 3 more. The Human Body and Ancient Egypt are coming out next year, and as we speak, I'm finishing up Dinosaurs. That's the last one. And I never had a dinosaur phase as a kid, so I know less about dinosaurs than every 10-year-old in America, so I've really had to, you know, to study up.
Well, you know what you can include in that? You can say, just as we told you that there was once a planet called Pluto, there was once a dinosaur called the Brontosaurus. But we don't call it that anymore. It's the Allosaurus now, kids.
I wonder if kids even know that, like, there it used to be Brontosaurus, because that was so huge for us. But
yeah,
you know,
why did they change it to Allosaurus?
Yeah,
it's actually Apatosaurus. You know the story?
No.
It was named Apatosaurus first, and then they thought Brontosaurus was a separate dinosaur. And so later on, when they found out they just had 2 specimens of the same species, they were like, oh, we got to use the first name, even if it's dumb.
And it's not Allosaurus, it's Apatosaurus?
Yes. Allosaurus is like a carnivore. And Brontosaurus is great. It means thunder lizard. But Apatosaurus, like, is stupid. It means, like, different lizard or something like that. So we gave it a worse name just because that was first.
Oh, come on. If you have to choose between the two, you should go with thunder lizard.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
And Allosaurus
exactly.
says, I'm out of here.
No, stop. No,
that's Allagoras.
Oh, Allagoras.
I cannot resist asking you about Jeopardy whenever you're on, Ken. When I realize it's been 10 years since you burst onto the scene with those 75 consecutive episodes.
10 years.
Yeah. I know you occasionally check in on the show now, not just to appear on tournaments, but to actually see how Trebek and company are doing. I'm curious whether you think the show's changed at all in the last decade.
It's interesting. They're doing a Tournament of Champions right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really see, I don't think I would stand a chance in today's environment because they have these real high-level players who just cram obsessively before they go on the show. Like, you know, this Arthur Chu guy who, you know, he studied where all the daily doubles were going to be and he used computer programs to drill him with questions. You know, these people go through these amazing boot camps before they go on Jeopardy. And so it's amazingly high level of competition now. You're really seeing professional Jeopardy players out there some nights, and it's just not fair to the opposition.
Yeah, there are some nights. My wife and I tape the show, or we don't tape anything. We DVR the show. We record the show and end up kind of binge-watching three or four episodes at a time because we've loved the show for so many years. And it does seem like every once in a while there's somebody like an Arthur Chu or somebody who has studied game theory or something, and there's always somebody else on the panel who has no clue what to do. Either they're too timid and can't get to the buzzer first or whatever it is, and they choke on the daily double. You know, they need to bet big, and I'll bet 100, Alex, and you know that sort of stuff. That does always seem like they are the tiny little prey,
sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, in the giant thunder lizard's eyes
for Arthursaurus.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. The main thing is that it's so much harder there than it is on your couch. You know,
yeah.
You think, what is this bozo doing? He can't figure out the buzzer. He's not bad enough. But then you get there and you realize it's still a war zone to be on Jeopardy, and it's, you know, it's so intense, and it's a lot harder than it seems.
And when they invite you back seemingly every other year for some new tournament that they've devised, those are really tough questions because it's you and the other great players, so it seems like the writers crank it up a little bit, or is that just my imagination?
I guess exactly right. I remember last time I was on for that big decades tournament or whatever they had, I remember them doing one category where you had to figure out who they were talking about, take his initials, translate them from Roman numerals, and then translate them back into a real number. And then that was the answer.
Good grief.
You're supposed to do that in, you know, 3 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Very tough.
Hey, Ken, how many game shows have you been on? You've been on Jeopardy and Millionaire.
I was on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, actually.
Really?
It turns out I'm not. It was the same kind of thing where I walked.
Isn't that the one with
it all on the last question, and then I knew it also. So.
That's the one with
Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was still on.
It's coming back. I think it's been off for a while.
Yeah, and last thing I've got to ask you, as you know, a long time ago, I put out these trivia calendars. Did it for a couple of years, sold a whole bunch of them for charity here in the St. Louis area, and do trivia on my Friday afternoon show here. And for a while, I used to get invited to host trivia nights all around town, and I did a lot. I did hundreds of them over the course of several years, and then I finally had to just say, stop, I can't do any more. I just kind of completely burned out on it. You now are a guy whose life is all about trivia, you know, with the connections puzzle for Parade magazine and the stuff you do for Slate and the stuff you're doing all the time on Twitter and elsewhere, plus your books. Do you get invited to do those trivia nights as well?
I do sometimes. St. Louis is an amazing trivia town. Like, I don't know of any other city that does as many trivia nights as St. Louis does. But yeah, up here I get invited to, you know, charity events, and you know, and I say yes when I can. But I'm with you. You know, I I can't play everybody's, you know, Jeopardy skit at their benefit, but I try.
Well, the series of books that Ken has been working on is called The Junior Genius Guides. He's got four down, three to go. The new one is out. If you've got kids, 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range, these are great things to give them, you know, with the holidays coming up. Give them as a gift. The latest one is on outer space, and they'll learn a lot of stuff like we did today about the sun and white light. I didn't know that.
I know. I have one more question for Ken.
Yes,
What did you do for a living before all of this, before Jeopardy and everything hit?
I was actually in computers, but I wasn't that great at it. I really, even as a kid, knew that like trivia was the only thing I was good at. I just didn't know. I didn't know it was a job.
Yeah.
So I got very lucky when I got the Jeopardy audition.
That's his next book. Jeopardy saved my life.
Yes,
that is true.
Ken, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
Ken Jennings here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
And let's get a look at traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, we've got a five-vehicle crash. It's on southbound 170, and it's just at the ramp to eastbound 40. Now, the left lane is blocked. Traffic is already starting to back up from about Del Mar down through Highway 40. If you're traveling on southbound 270, you've got some stop-and-go areas now from Page down through Ladue and then slow down to Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 40 drivers slowing now, approaching 141 up through Mason, and a little bit slow from 170 to Big Bend. Westbound 40, Van Deventer through McCausland, Spady out through Highway 270, a little heavy right about 141. Eastbound 270 now has some really slow traffic from about McDonald to 170. And northbound 170, a bit slow from Highway 70 up through Airport Road. This traffic report brought to you by Account Temps. They provide salary ranges for more than 375 accounting and finance jobs. Learn more by visiting accounttemps.com/salarycenter, a Robert Half company. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
To the 20, to the 10, to the house! Touchdown, Missouri!
Hi, I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. Missouri tries to continue its November push this weekend on the road at Tennessee. The 19th-ranked Tigers are 8-2. The Vols are 5-5, but they've won two straight. It's a 6:30 kickoff at Neyland Stadium. Tiger Network coverage begins at 4:30, right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
Think about the conversation you had with your financial advisor and how that made you feel knowing you had everything taken care of. You know exactly what strategy to use to claim your Social Security. You understand how and when to withdraw your assets and from what accounts you should withdraw from first. You are 100% confident that you are always going to pay the least amount of money in taxes. The chances are you probably never had that conversation, and there's a high probability that you probably won't. Don't you think you owe it to yourself to make sure you've done everything right? If you're within 5 years of retirement or already retired with at least $250,000 of investable assets, call me, Kevin Lloyd, president of Legacy Wealth Advisors and co-host of America's Wealth Management Show, for a complimentary retirement analysis. 314-641-1010. For a complimentary retirement analysis, call 314-641-1010.
Securities offered through First Allied Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It. We all have junk around our homes, old TVs, maybe an old refrigerator, the entertainment center, things your kids brought home from college, heck, things you brought home from college. You know the stuff you don't use, and it's just taking up valuable space. You'd like to get rid of it, but you don't know who to call to help you with all of this. Well, I need you to call Pitch It and Forget It, 314-932-1100. Pitch It will provide residential and commercial junk removal service with variable affordable rates. The friendly staff at Pitch It will visit your location on your schedule and provide you with a quote on the spot at no cost. They'll remove items from your basement, your attic, your office, your warehouse. They'll even clean up after themselves. You don't have to lift a finger. Isn't that nice? And their prices are lower than the national change. Pitch It is an eco-friendly, recycling most items, and they are fully insured. So call the folks at Pitch It at 932-1100. That's Pitch It at 932-1100 or pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Don't forget, senior discount supply.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in for Frank today. Ian and Dan are here with me. We won't have the Harris Challenge at 5:15. Save that for Friday afternoon, and I get a couple more days to play. I wanted to mention the new Band-Aid song. Remember 30 years ago, Bob Geldof put together a group of English musicians to do a song called Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yes.
To help out with famine relief in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And then he did another one the next year, and then he did another one for the 20th anniversary. Well, now it's the 30th anniversary, and he's come out with a new version with some of the same old songs and some of the contemporary people like One Direction are on there. There's no need to be afraid. Bono's on there. Chris Martin from Coldplay.
At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade.
So the song is pretty much the same, although they changed a couple of lyrics in there because this one is to raise money to help out victims of Ebola in Africa. But there are a whole bunch of people in Africa who are really mad at Bob Geldof for doing this, saying, you know, we don't really need white people to come in here and save us all the time.
Man.
To which Bob Geldof says, you know, we put this on the X Factor in the UK, the Simon Cowell show, and in one day we raised $1 million. And it's the number one song on iTunes in Europe, and we're continuing to raise a lot of money. And why would you not want us to give you money to help in the fight against this horrible disease that's killed thousands of people? And I understand that, you know, we don't want it to look like, well, oh, we need more British pop stars to come and save us again. On the other hand, I would just say thank you for the check.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we appreciate that.
They can send it to me.
He's also getting some criticism about changing one of the lines in there. One of the original lines was, where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears. He's changed that to, where a kiss of love can kill you and there's death in every tear. Boy, that's really upbeat.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas. Oh, I hope the kids are crying about their happiness about Christmas and what they're getting because it's Ebola.
I went to the doctor's office today, and they asked me, "Have you been exposed to the Ebola virus?"
How would you? What?
I don't think so.
Of course you haven't. What a stupid question.
I don't think I have.
They forgot the two important.